Monday, we went through the autumnal equinox at 8:44 yesterday morning. Did you notice a change? I didn't, but here we go. And Mondays, now through our political season, we're 43 days away from the election, and we have our resident political analyst, Lenny McAllister, in studio with us. Lenny, good morning.
Good morning. And you didn't feel that?
I didn't feel the change until after the Steeler game was over, and I thought something's different.
Yeah, that's called adequate quarterback play, but that's different than the equinox.
That was fun. Were you able to watch some of the game or all
of
the game?
I actually was supposed to have a buddy come up from South Carolina. He couldn't at the last minute, so I was at the game yesterday. Yes, what a rare Sunday off.
Wasn't that great?
It was gorgeous weather. They played well. The defense was what we thought the defense was going to be. And it's interesting to see what it looks like when you can actually push the ball down the field a little bit.
Yeah, they dominated that second half.
Yes, they did.
Defense gave up -5 yards in the second half.
And it's the type of win you want to have. You know that the team came in, we all almost say San Diego Chargers, but the Los Angeles Chargers, they came in as a respected football team. Justin Herbert did play the first half. They knocked him out of the game.
Right.
And the Steelers were down 10-7 at halftime. I mean, I don't know about you, but I thought that Boswell was going to make that kick.
You know, he tried a 61 yarder, and you know, it came up short, but I've seen him in warm-ups easily hit that. So that was a little bit of a atypical kick for him, but regardless, they ended up winning. They could have added a touchdown, but they took a knee.
They took the knee at the end. You know, it's interesting. Next week, if he has that shot next week, because it's going to be indoors at Indianapolis, he probably makes that kick. If it's in Atlanta, he probably makes that kick. It's Acrisure Stadium. It's not an easy place to kick, and it's grass.
Yeah, you don't really hold that one against him since he's been so solid. But here they are, 3-0, first time since, 2020? So
it's been a while.
On the road in Indy, then back the following Sunday night against the Dallas Cowboys.
Who is struggling. That team is struggling with their defense. I mean, the Steelers coming into this have a genuine opportunity to be 5-0 at a time where Cincinnati, they'll probably win tonight, but they could be 0-3. They got a 2-game lead on the whole division, even if Cincinnati wins tonight. That's a pretty nice spot to be in when you're playing a Colts team that's okay, but with, in essence, a first-year quarterback, and then coming against a struggling Dallas team on a Sunday night game at Acrisure.
Yeah, and after next week, they'll be like a quarter of the way through the regular
season.
Hard
to believe,
yeah.
Right?
Well, meanwhile, over the weekend, I think, Lenny, and you probably relate to this, a lot of people, I included, want to detach from the heavy political rhetoric that's back and forth. However, over the weekend, there were a few developments. One was a sit-down that Donald Trump had where he was asked, if he doesn't win in November, will he go after the presidency again, where he said no. And I think they're counting on a win here, but it's neck and neck, and it's hard to predict. And then Kamala Harris raised a bunch of money over the weekend, so 43 days till the election. What's the October surprise do you anticipate? Or is there one this year? Have we exhausted all the big surprises?
The economy can always be one. I mean, people forget in 2008, they remember hope and change from then Senator Obama. But once the October surprise, which came at the end of September, with the economic calamity that hit, they dealt with it two different ways. McCain dealt with it one way. Obama dealt with it a different way. And that changed that election. Now, the economic numbers right now seem to be going in the vice president's direction. I mean, the Fed cut the interest rate.
By a half point, which
yes,
many experts thought a quarter point, but that was a big surprise to many.
Which they did that because inflation's going in the right direction. Gas prices are going in the right direction. The price of groceries are going in the right direction. Doesn't mean it's where it was, but it's going in the right direction. Now, if you can get one or two job reports that come out the first Friday of November and the first Friday of October, If those look good and these economic numbers go the right direction, that's an economic surprise that comes that helps Harris, which, by the way, that would probably lead to this October surprise, Donald Trump reversing field and saying, no, I want a debate. Because if you think about it, if the economy is not on his side and the immigration issue doesn't stick and reproductive rights is it's clearly against the Republicans and some of this other stuff that's out there is going against the GOP, he's going to need something that's going to help him with a bounce.
One other thing that you just mentioned is apparently Donald Trump said, well, we have the quote. He said it. He said, No more debates. It's too late. Some states, including South Dakota, have already started the mail-in ballot. The vote is on.
Yeah.
And we're right behind them here in Pennsylvania with the mail-in. So he's suggesting it's too late for that. We'll see. And I want to ask you about maybe an outside factor, and that is this whole P. Diddy story coming up next. Because I would imagine, Lenny, there are a lot of celebrities who have had encounters with Sean, you know, what's the official name now?
Oh, good Lord.
Because it's been
Sean Puffy Combs, Diddy, and
right. But
P. Diddy.
But this story has a lot of people nervous, I would imagine, who are very famous, political or otherwise, movie stars, other artists. I mean, this could have an impact on
Larry, Jeff Epstein is back, and this time he's black.
Wow. Lenny McAllister on the Big K Morning Show. Details next. Sir, our inside political analyst. And this is a story that just really broke. I mean, it's been brewing for a while. But last week, when Sean P. Diddy Combs was arrested for sex trafficking and racketeering charges and is being held without bond right now, but that's one story.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, he's very successful, maybe close to a billionaire with hip hop, music career, wrote a lot of hit songs, produced others. And yet there are ties and relationships with a lot of famous people for these alleged parties that he used to host, right?
Yeah.
And when you talk about sex trafficking, that's a whole new conversation. But yet, Donald Trump knew him. He came to his place in New York multiple times. Kamala Harris knew him.
Yep.
So both sides are trying to tie the two, see if anything sticks. But what is the deal? What is he really being charged with in terms of how depraved is this? It looks horrible.
I think the thing that comes up, and it unfortunately takes us back to the R. Kelly situation. You're talking about people being held against their will. You're talking about people being drugged, so consent's taken away. And then you're talking about sex trafficking. And it's the worst of the worst. And it's a situation where people live in these bubbles where they have so much money. They can pay people off. They can hide lawsuits where we never hear about this. And this is part of the avalanche of what you're seeing with Diddy now. This happened with R. Kelly years ago. This happened with Epstein. It's been hidden for so long that once the dam breaks, it breaks. And all these things come out. And it's not just something that happened 6 months ago or a year ago. It's something that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. We're hearing about for example, a rapes lawsuit, civil settlement that Diddy's involved in that goes back to the 1990s. So now what we're hearing about is 30 years of a certain type of behavior. And that's what makes it so shocking to us now. Now, what's sad, Larry, is the fact that when it comes back to these political figures that you mentioned, these public figures, you know, 20 years ago, you know, again, I go back to Barack Obama. He basically won the Illinois U.S. Senate race because Jack Ryan had a sex scandal with his wife, Jerry Ryan, of Star Trek fame. And he dropped out of the race, which left Barack Obama as the only candidate to win in 2004. Nowadays, you have a sex scandal, and people not only don't drop out of the race, we saw somebody win the presidency, we have a gubernatorial candidate in North Carolina that they tried to get out of the race on Friday. He stayed in the race, and America, we will collectively, not you and me per se, but collectively, people will just ignore this in 2 weeks, whereas before, this was like one of the unpardonable sins that forced you out of politics and public life, and now it's just one of those shoulder shrugs, hey, I got an OnlyFans account as well, or hey, but that's not that big of a deal because the other side. And it's a very sad commentary as to where we are as Americans when it comes to how we view leadership and what our expectations are for leadership.
Well, according to the 14-page federal criminal indictment of Combs, they're saying he was responsible for coordinating days-long sexual parties known to the people involved as freak-offs, and what some of the participants may or may not have known is that some of these people were being held against their will or, to your point, drugged. Elaborate and produced sexual performances is what the court documents say. Weaponized videos he filmed to keep everybody quiet. Freak-off activity is the core of this case, and the freak-offs are inherently dangerous. So, don't know where this is going in terms of attachment, but some very famous people have ditched all their social media, cleansed all their ex, you know, I mean, they're still out there somewhere, but a lot of people don't want any affiliation for being associated with PD.
Is it too early for inside dirt, Larry? I mean, I know this is KDK, and I know this is Pittsburgh, and we're a wonderful city. Can I give you some inside dirt for 30 seconds?
Please do.
I was talking to a celebrity friend of mine 12 years ago. It was during the 2012 election cycle. Somebody that I was pretty close with, and he ended up getting himself into his own little scenario, and I will not name names. But that said, I remember sitting down with him after a television show that we had done together. We had gotten pretty close. And he started telling me about how, and this is something that you hear a lot in social media now, back to your point of scrubbing social media, that people knew you don't hang with Sean Puff Daddy, P. Diddy Combs after 12 o'clock at night because the whole tone of the environment changed. Now, this is somebody that he and I are both married, and so this wasn't really our world. But he knew about this in 2012. So, there are a lot of celebrities that not only knew about this for years on end, whereas if a political analyst can hear about it, you know people that are in the music industry know about it, and people are certainly going to be nervous because it's going to those pictures, those videos, those shout outs are going to start tying them back to everything from, again, drug trafficking, because the ketamine, illegal use of that, illegal use of other substances, back to the sex trafficking, which goes back to, you know, kidnapping, terroristic threats, the weaponization of the videos, like you mentioned, and the like. This can be really, really big eventually when it goes down to who else is tied to this.
And they'll be looking to tie it to both candidates some way, somehow, and already have tried. And so we'll see, since both knew.
Yep.
And apparently a lot of people knew, and that's not suggesting everybody that knew him or even went to any event he had, that there were participants in this kind of behavior.
You know what may also come out, Larry, is who took a check from Diddy for their campaign over the years? That would be interesting because Kamala Harris has run for multiple offices in California and Donald Trump's been running for president since 2015. I would love to see if somebody comes out and says this cash check from this organization or this is specifically from Sean Diddy Combs. What do you do now? That would be explosive if that happens this week.
You're right. This is the Big K Morning Show. Thanks for choosing us. Larry Richard and in studio this hour, our political analyst, homegrown, Lenny McAllister. But you have a really fascinating resume, actually. You wear many hats, and your day job is in education.
Yes,
and
it
you
is.
Just got back from San Diego doing...
We had an annual summit out there where we have an opportunity to talk about best practices, talk about the effectiveness of what we've been able to do well when it comes to education, talk about ways to be innovative, ways to meet the needs of families at a time where education remains to be a hot political topic, not just how do we fund it, but how and why is it effective? What kind of programs can our kids get? Can they get career training? Can they get dual credits between when they're in high school? Can they get college credit as well as high school credit? Can they get what we call tri-credits, which is get a certification in an industry, get college credit, continue to get through high school? So having a chance to talk about things like that in a gorgeous place such as San Diego and get a chance to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers Club of San Diego during the Steelers-Broncos game was pretty darn cool.
You know, it's amazing. Even though I really understand how many of these Steeler bars have their genesis, right? It's usually a displaced Pittsburgher who had to take a job whenever over the years or isn't. They always miss home. And the one common denominator is they're a fan of the Steelers. And
yes.
So this happened in Rome. Duquesne college students went to this little bar off of Piazza Navona near the Vatican, and they were looking to see if they could watch the Steelers game. And the guy's like smart, right? Giovanni Poggi's his name. He goes, "Well, if you bring more students in, yeah, I'll have the game for you." And that's how he became Steeler Bar. They're everywhere.
And they had black and gold everywhere. They sold T-shirts. They had a little blow up mannequin in front of the place. Everybody wears jerseys. And I literally had a Pittsburgh-style salad, which included grilled chicken and French fries on top.
Well, San Diego is a beautiful place.
Yes.
We've had a sunny summer like I can't remember a summer that's had this much sunshine in Pittsburgh.
It's been gorgeous this whole summer. And it was actually cooler in San Diego than it was here when I left.
Yeah, even though it's on the Pacific Ocean, it's really comfortable. It's not hot and humid like, well, even Northern California when you get up to L.A., which isn't all that far away, really.
No, it's about 120 miles.
And then anywhere along the coast in Florida or on the eastern seaboard, it's always humid,
it's
windy.
It's sticky, yes.
Yeah, but San Diego's, yeah, there's, until you get into the mountains, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, so back to our talk about what comes next. So the candidates will continue. By the way, October 1st will be, and I would imagine there'll be a lot of interest in how the vice presidents, or the candidates for vice president, will do in a debate. Because there is not going to be another debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. As of now. Trump said over the weekend, no, too late. People are voting. That ship has sailed.
You know, again, part of it's going to be poll numbers. Part of it is Donald Trump's personality. He's the cult of personality. He likes having attention. And if you think about it from that perspective, is Donald Trump really going to want the last time he has millions of people watching him all at once to be in September? Even from that perspective, I think he's going to have one more debate. I think that there's not much that Governor Walz can do to anger the vice president on that ticket in that debate on October 1st. But J.D. Vance is underperforming as the VP nominee. There's rumblings that there are Trump people that are not really happy with how he's performing. The whole childless cat lady situation came out with him. The whole Springfield, Ohio issue, he continued to have going. He's not a pick that's bolstering that ticket. And he can do, I don't know if he can do much good on October 1st, but he can do more damage for that ticket on October 1st. And that's what's going to be interesting about how he deals with that debate with Walz coming up.
So J.D. Vance, freshman senator in Ohio, in his own state, suggested at Springfield, now this is 2 weeks old now, that there were Haitian illegal immigrants eating pets. The Republican governor of the state did an investigation. He said, quote, "That's garbage." But they keep doubling down on this. Why don't they just let it go? And even Vance admitted, well, okay.
Larry, they found the cat in a lady's basement. The initial cat of the story, she found her cat. The cat was hiding in the basement.
Right. That's why do they keep doubling down on this and move on to something
because
more important?
Because it's tied indirectly into immigration. It ties indirectly into saying they're bringing thousands of people in that are, even if they're brought in legally, they're taking resources that your family can't get. And as inflation goes up and the cost of groceries go up and resources from your government goes down, it's going to people that are immigrants, newly minted immigrants, some legal, some not legal, in your small town, and this is why you have to vote for Donald Trump. It's a very convoluted tie back to an issue that they're winning on, but they're losing the messaging in the process now.
We talked to the borough manager of Charleroi on Friday, Joe Manning, and Joe's been getting calls from all over the world because Charleroi has about 3% of immigrants from Haiti.
Yes.
He said they did their research, and I'm sure there are some illegal immigrants everywhere, but he said that they were here legally. And then people suggesting, well, they just gave a sweeping, you know, they allowed these people to come in. So are they going to deport all these people?
Here's what's also troubling in America these days. They've done polling. There's a significant portion of Americans that support mass deportation. So if you're seeing that in the polls, and the number one thing you're trying to do is win an election, not be ethical, not try to figure out a good solution, you're trying to win, and you see this reactionary polling, it's very easy to now pivot your messaging into that. And so when you're trying to talk to people in small towns like Charleroi, all across the nation, in swing states, including here in the Commonwealth, there's a message there that can resonate. And again, unfortunately, Larry, it's a message that doesn't poll highly. It's something no one's going to go out and admit, yes, I'm scared of the brown-skinned immigrants. No one's going to say that in a poll. But they may go vote that way. And that's what, unfortunately, the Trump ticket's counting on, that underrepresentation in the polls that you're seeing in September and going into October, that will vote differently in November based on some of these sentiments that are being ratcheted up, whether it's in campaign ads or just on the campaign trail.
Lenny McAllister, some final thoughts coming up this hour, and we'll talk about the week, including the gathering of all the leaders, NATO in New York. Coming up, Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey in studio. Lenny McAllister wrapping up our hour. You know the mayor, Lenny? Have you met before?
We went to high school together.
Come on, man. Mayor, have a seat.
I didn't go to... Well, you listen to you. He's disclaiming his Central Catholic roots.
Oh, that's right. You went to... Look, you got to tell me which one it was.
No. C-C-C-E-N-C-E-N-T-R-I-L.
I love both. Don't get me wrong.
We'll fix that chair. Is that too low? That's like a...
You know, I knew Wheeler.
Mayor, I appreciate you coming.
Thank you. Am I on that?
You know, what is it with the central connection here in this town? It's Marty and Rich Fitzgerald was a great... All these people with that central connection. Pretty amazing.
It is a special place.
Well, the mayor, appreciate you coming in today, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
We got a lot to talk about. And Lenny has a very long history in radio.
Okay.
Worked in Chicago.
Okay.
And also the Carolinas, right?
In Carolinas, yep.
North Carolina. He's in education. He wears many hats.
Right.
Indeed.
And we were just talking.
I wasn't going to stop you, Larry. You were going on and on.
I don't have time to complete your entire resume.
Mayor's here. I need you to brag.
Well, what would you want to ask the mayor? Here he is sitting right here in front of you. What would be the number one question, Lenny McAllister for Pittsburgh Mayor Ed Gainey?
I guess the number one question I would ask Ed is this. You came into the office in 2021, which was still during the pandemic. You came in on the waves of social change, but the world is different now. So your campaign message has to be different, and what you have to offer Pittsburghers are different at a time where they're not feeling optimistic. How do you show them, one, an optimistic tone, but number two, a genuine optimistic direction considering a lot of the challenges that you've had, including within the base of your support, the black community, and some of the violence, some of the issues that have not changed in regards to the underclass. How do you show a different direction going into term two as you go into term two in 2025?
Yeah, first, I appreciate that question. Coming in, we did come in after the pandemic, and there were a lot of social issues, a whole lot of social issues. And one of the things I'll say is I'm not sure that, we're not out of it. You know, we can still see residue of the pandemic. And there's no question about that. When you talk about the hope in the city and the fact that the hope in the country has been so pessimistic in recent years is due to a pandemic, coming out of one. When you look back at other eras where you had this level of a social condition, it's taken some time to come out of a pandemic. And this being considered one of the worst pandemics in the history of the world, there's no difference. Do I think that we're on track? Absolutely. I also think that when you talk about the pessimistic feeling that people have, we're also talking about on a national level how divisive our politics is. We have a very divisive political system. When you talk about the violence in the community, that's one of the things that, you know, I focused on a whole lot. You know, to be able to sit here today and say last year we were down 27% in homicides and we're close to being down to 30% in homicides this year. When you talk about the fact that our youth, we're down in terms of homicides with youth, those are positive signs for me. Those are signs that I take extremely serious because I want everyone to have a life. And I believe in the words of Frederick Douglass that if you raise a child upright, you don't have to repair a broken man. And so a lot of the investments that we did from making sure that we created the Youth Civic Leadership Program and partnering with Partners for Work so that the kids that come through the program get paid a stipend to learn about government, something that you know quite too well in our communities they didn't know growing up. Secondly is getting three college credits from CCAC, partnering with CCAC to give them three college credits. Now creating a youth commission, the youth commission to continue to talk about elevating youth in our city, I think is a positive. When you talk about the impact that we've had on the minority community, I understand you mean the black community, first time in the history of the city that we had three black primes on major construction projects. It's never happened before in the history of the city. I think that's phenomenal. And I also think it's sad that we had to wait till 2024 to get that when other cities have done it in the past. The more we diversify our portfolio, the more the city grows. And so just sitting back and thinking about that, first time ever having a police contract without arbitration in over 20 years. First time we had a fire contract without arbitration in over 10 to 15 years. Those are things that says progress.
But yet
when I came in.
But yet we have not closed the gap between cities that we compete with and Pittsburgh. What do we do that's tangible to close that? And I know that Larry wants that question. He has to go to break. But maybe you can answer that question on the other side of the break. And Larry, I know I got to get out of here.
All right. Lenny McAllister, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mayor Ed Gainey, appreciate you being here. More to come.